If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Captain! Captain!
Report.
Signatures detected!
Shields up!
Signatures detected!
Red alert!
Context Starfleet Command.
What's happening?
Context Starfleet Command.
Delay that order.
Context Starfleet Command.
This is the captain.
Context Starfleet Command.
Get out of my chair! Chair!
We have engaged the Klingons.
Klingons? Those are Klingons?
Welcome to the greatest discovery. It's a new Star Trek podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison. We are live streaming this on Twitch, but we are also releasing it as a podcast. So some of you may have already heard this.
Yeah, what we like to do is get on Twitch and open things that have been given to us by our many viewers. And today is no different, except the things we're opening today are questions. We have to give something back. That's the arrangement.
Yeah. You give us Q's, we give out A's. It's a pretty square deal. I don't think anybody would accuse us of being some kind of Q grifters.
Oh, I think many people do. Plenty of conversation about how much we owe.
Yeah,
the friends of DeSoto. I feel like we're square, personally. I feel like they owe us, really.
Man, the subscribers are rolling in. This is going great for us. Adam, we can't A these cues because we don't know what any of the cues are. Our producer Robs knows what the cues are.
Oh yeah, he does. And I think we're gonna bring him onto the show, right? He's gonna sit up on my lap. Is that how you've designed how this will look?
I mean, unfortunately, your mic being right in front of you will kind of kill the illusion of that, but that is basically how it looks. Let's bring in the great Rob Schulte. Hey, Robs.
Hi.
Hi, Robs.
I just need to point out that I can't help but always think of the movie Little Man when I get brought into this stream. So I have to say it again, and I am okay to take that role.
Is that a Wayans Brothers film?
It is.
I never saw it.
Hey, little man, what's the matter?
There was a time where Wayans Brothers films were almost all I watched movie-wise.
That doesn't surprise me.
Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood is a film that I probably saw 25 times the year it came out.
It's a classic.
When it was on VHS, it was like every middle school party included a screening of Don't Be a Menace to South Central.
Yeah, that was big fun. Now it looks like I'm wearing Rob in a papoose.
Yeah, we need to get Rob a producer Bjorn.
Rob, you're complaining, but you could pump up your seat at any point. You're choosing this.
Well, once you find a comfort spot, you kind of have to just sit there and live with it. You know, who knows?
Yeah, the worst part is the chest sweat I'm getting.
Uh-huh. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
It's gross as hell.
It's really tough to have such a sweaty group of people trying to crowd into this composition all at the same time.
I'm hearing it's a hot, humid day in the big city, Rob.
Oh, yes. This flower is wilting. I cannot stand it, but at least I can dry off with you two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been exciting, though, weather regardless, collecting all of these cues for you guys to A.
Yeah. This is like one of the things that being
not the producer of Greatest Discovery brings up in me is that we said we would do a Q&A episode on the last episode of Greatest Discovery. And then like 2 days ago, I was like, oh shit, that's coming up. We have to record that. And I was like, I was convinced that because I had not done something about it, it hadn't gotten done. And then you were like, no, we've got tons of questions. It's fine. And I was like, oh, right. Rob is a pro.
There's a plethora. And I appreciate you saying that. But really, it's like the best part about gathering the questions is how diverse the questions get.
Yeah.
And then using the little sifter box to find the gems. I hope that I did.
You're like a gold miner. Sluicing the questions for those nuggets of gold.
That's why I wear this floppy hat.
Rob's the prospector. I love it. What do you say you hit us with a cue?
Let's do it. I had to go with a J Poop 69 question first.
Wow.
Oh, good.
J Poop 69, famously the admin of drunkshimoda.com, the Discord group.
And that question is, please tell us about the podcasts that inspired you.
Oh.
Or the podcast you listened to before you were podcasters yourself.
Yeah, I think the answer is easy for me. It was Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably listened to that show the most. I mean, how long has that show been on the air? Like, it's coming up on 10 years or something, right?
I think it might be like 13 years or something. They were probably in the first 10,000 podcasts.
Like, that was the show that introduced me to what a podcast was.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was, you know, at the time when I started listening to podcasts, the one that I would listen to only until I started adding other shows into my pile. And now I hardly have time to listen to any shows at all, including that one, unfortunately. I'm a real like cafeteria podcast listener. I choose based on guest, you know, on Jordan, Jesse, Go primarily. Like, I hardly ever listen to any show, every episode of a show that I like. It's too bad. I just don't have that kind of bandwidth.
I am also a big JJ Go stan. I would say that the Flophouse was a big inspiration for this show. I had not and still have not watched or listened to any like episode by episode recap podcasts, which I know there's tons of them out there, but that's just never been part of my podcast diet. And I have no idea like how we compare even.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've never consumed any either. Though I have dabbled in the movie by the minute type of genre.
Sure.
Show.
Yeah.
None of the podcasts I consume are about television.
Another one.
So I don't know if we're doing a good job or not.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody watching knows we're doing a pretty bad job. But another one I wanted to shout out though that is sort of like a episode by episode rewatch podcast that I have listened to a lot is Random Trek, which is they pick a random episode or film from across all of Star Trek, and the host Scott McNulty sits down with a guest, and I actually got to be a guest on that show when we started making Greatest Gen, and that was a real thrill for me because I was
sometimes that guest is you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just spent years being jealous of the premise of that podcast, and then I got to go on it.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I often experience premise jealousy.
Yeah. All right. Rob, do you have any that you have listened to that have inspired your producering?
Yeah, I think that the first two podcasts I listened to, I know, were Stuff You Should Know and Comedy Bang Bang.
Wow.
They have stuck with me in one way or another just because they will always surprise you with an entertaining episode. Yeah. When it comes to podcasting, though, I really learned a whole lot by working with Mike Sachs when we did our podcast together, because he's a comedy writer, and then we would have
okay, Rob, together. We didn't ask you to start promoting stuff.
No, it's the show's not even on the air anymore, but it really taught me to adjust comedy to audio.
Yeah.
There. But We have another question that you guys must answer.
Okay.
And this one comes by someone by the screen name of Tenenbomber. And the question goes like this. If you were a lower dork, what job would you want?
Wow. I mean, ensign hospitality seems chill at the very least. Like, you may get like a haughty diplomat demanding to be shown a different room or something like that, but you're not like cleaning up something disgusting if you're ensign hospitality. So that has a certain appeal.
You get to meet a lot of interesting people in that job, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always thought, like, if I were in the military, my job would be mechanic of some kind. Like, I think that would be cool to work on the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, work on the tanks or the planes or whatever. So I feel like shuttlecraft mechanic would be a pretty good job for me, because I'd get to, like, the shuttles would come back all fucked up and I'd get to hear the story of how it happened.
Right.
I'd be working with the higher ups, like the people who get to go on the missions to hear the stories and stuff. That'd be a pretty good diversity of job day to day, I think.
Yeah. What the hell did you guys do to this? Oh, you went through a fold in space time? Well, now I understand why it's so banged to hell.
This is a lot of blood. More blood than usual. A lot of pressure washing, I think, would be involved in that job.
My father was a quartermaster when he was in the army, and that was, I think, a pretty good gig for him, because he was not in the shit, and he got to, like, wheel and deal a little bit. Like, he always likes to tell me about this time he traded a bunch of rolls of naga hide for some frozen steaks, and then they had a big cookout at the supply depot that he was in command of, and getting some steak sounds great, but I don't know if they have quartermasters in Starfleet, because everything is replicated. Like, does
your answer actually inspired me to redo my answer. I don't want the job that I just said. I want the job of, you see this person all the time in Star Trek, the one who is at the controls of the shuttle flying the captain or the XO to their new ship. Oh, and you always get to say, there she is. And then you do the big drive around. I don't think you ever have a bad day on one of those shifts taking your captain to their new ship and showing it off like that. That's got to be the best, right? The valet.
You never fall through a space butthole when you're just puttering around space dock.
Someone's favorite day, you're involved in that because you took them to their ship. That's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a great gig. Good call. Good answer.
You sure did get up out of my lap.
Yeah, I moved him over.
All right.
I've got a honey, we blew up the baby situation happening over here. All right. Of all the Star Trek uniforms from all Trek everywhere, which one would you choose to wear? And that question comes from Artemis Hunting.
Man, which one do you choose to wear?
It's a great question.
What seems the most comfortable?
I mean, instinctually, I want the high collar jacket from Wrath of Khan. Yeah. You can't wear that every day, all the time.
It's, you can't wear that around the house. It's too hot.
No. It doesn't fold over the way you like. Hey, Artemis Hunting is in the chat.
No way.
So that's pretty cool. They get to be here for the A.
I think this may be a basic Star Trek podcaster answer, but the First Contact and later DS9 uniform seems like it's got the most adaptability to the most temperature scenarios, because you can just do the undershirt, you can do the vest, and you can do the action jacket. So if it's a little chilly, you've got options, and if it's too hot, you've got options. So I think that might be my answer.
I think it's fair.
I'm trying to think about if there's ever been a time where Star Trek did pants well. Like, I feel like what's most memorable about Star Trek is always the top.
Right.
But I'm even trying to think at all about bottoms that aren't showing a bunch of nuck, you know? like there are many examples of Star Trek doing bad pants, but what are the pants you'd actually want to wear that you've seen on a show or a movie?
Yeah, I mean, the Voyager uniforms seem to be kind of a jumpsuit. So I've had to wear like a Carhartt like coverall on film sets when I was like doing something dirty. And you get so hot in a full body suit like that. It's always sweaty no matter what the temperature is outside. The second that zipper gets up to your neck, the swamp ass starts, and nothing will stop it until you climb out of that suit.
I seem to remember Kira had some amazing high waisted pants when she burnt down the pizza oven.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Those are good pants.
I'm always interested in future pant technology, and I think it was represented well in that episode.
You know what the best Star Trek uniform pants I've ever seen are the shorts on the Love Boat TNG crossover from the SNL episode with Picard.
Good call.
Those white deck shorts, very handsome.
Set a course.
All right, guys, the next question goes like this, and I want you to think real hard about it. You're the captain. What is your fantasy crew draft? And that is by Glenn Han Solo.
Oh, okay.
I've got a question about the question. Is it a draft like on a playground, and we're going back and forth, and when Ben picks someone, I can't? Is that how this works? Because let's do a bridge crew like that.
It's an elimination.
I think that's fair, because the other thing would just be like a Mount Rushmore situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Have some fun with it.
Adam and I have occupied the captain role. We need somebody for ops, somebody for con, somebody for tactical. Do we get like a science officer?
You need a first officer.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is first officer science officer? It often is, right?
I mean, I think Riker probably considers his role one of a man of science, primarily, with a specialty in biology.
Pick your ship, too.
Oh, right. You know,
and that might have something to do with some of the roles.
Okay. Okay, so four roles and ship.
Delsol class.
Okay.
First pick in the draft.
Damn. Major pick. Okay, so if I'm picking ship, I'm going to go little D. I like that maneuverability.
Yeah, you just like sleeping in bunk beds.
I do. Yeah. Well, a lot of fun to be had on a little D-class starship. What's our next role?
I think it's XO. Let's just do it by rank.
Okay.
Let's go down like that.
Okay.
My XO's Data.
Wow.
And I know I'm stealing him from you, because I think that's who you would have picked. But yeah, I think Data's going to come in handy if you ever want to take a break.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to be spending a lot of time in my ready room on the Delsol, and it'd feel great to stick Data on the bridge just whenever, knowing he's never going to get tired.
That's true.
He's never going to take great umbrage at my frequent departures.
And no concerns about the fact that he's a synthetic person, you know? Like, nope. I mean, we gotta make this tachyon web to stop these Romulans from coming through the neutral zone in their cloaked ships. And putting a synthetic man in charge of a ship just seems kind of insane to me.
We're going to go over this during his job interview. I'll give him a chance to answer for his many hijackings of the Enterprise. I'll give him a chance to explain all that away.
Okay. So first officer is somebody I think I want... Well, I think I want a seasoned first officer. I think I want somebody that really has a lot of reps. I would trust implicitly in command if I did have to leave the bridge for whatever reason, and I could like rely on for advice. Like if we, you know, ducked into the ready room, I would know I was getting some real sage wisdom. And for that reason, my first officer is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Wow. Oh, shit. That is creative thinking. I wasn't even thinking of captains.
Yeah.
Wow.
You could have anybody. So
really
that's who
could.
I pick. Yeah. Okay. Should we do Khan next?
Sure.
Who's your pilot, Adam?
Oh, boy. I have to admit, I'm pretty off balance after the Picard pick. Who do I want at the Khan? Shoot. Well, I mean, I kind of want a jack of all trades for this position. So I think I'm going to go with Geordi. I think Geordi might be my guy.
Wow.
At the con.
Not a
He's
bad
done
pilot.
It before. He's not a bad pilot. He's got the reps. He's seen it all.
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
I think maybe that's going to be my pick. So there it is.
I like it.
That's good.
They're all demotions. Like, there are people in the chat going, "Wow, demotion for Captain Picard, demotion for Geordi." Yeah, they're all demotions when you work for us.
Tell me about it.
My pilot, I respect your logic, Adam, but I think I just want like raw pilot skills over jack of all trades for this job. And I think that the pilot we've seen doing the most exciting piloting in all of Star Trek is Kayla Detmer. She's she makes the Discovery look more agile than the little D, and that's the ship that she's going to be on. So I want somebody that can really.
She's fine, but she could never hang in Red Squad, Ben. I think you should have chosen someone from Red Squad to be.
Who
pilot.
Knows if Red Squad even existed in her era? You know.
Yeah.
Maybe she's the person that got the Culverd Starburst band.
They should have named her character Culverd. Like, then you could just tie the whole mythology together that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Kayla Culverd.
I like how alliterative that is.
Yeah. I think we need ops and science.
All right. I'm going to make Captain Janeway my science officer. I'm going to pull another captain down to my level. She's great. And she's more than just a science enthusiast. She's like, I'm going to need her advice a lot.
Yeah.
On just about everything. And I think she's another person I could safely throw the keys to the ship to when I'm in the ready room.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is I need a lot of people to run the ship while I'm in the ready room.
You're gonna be working on some stuff in there.
I'm going to be taking a lot of meals at my desk to save time.
Wow. Good answer. I guess the person I would want doing the science would also be somebody that I think you're right. You want somebody that is like a brilliant scientist, but also somebody that you can trust in command. And so for that reason, I think my science officer would be Lieutenant Jean-Luc Picard from that episode where Q changed his life to be a science officer.
Does it amuse you to think of me living out the rest of my life as a dreary man in a tedious job?
Great choice.
He would be the saddest member of the bridge crew, but we'd have fun with a couple of Picards in there.
He's such a bummer, man. That's no good. All right, what's the last position that we need to select for?
We need ops.
Oh, this is great. I think this is a classic case of, you know, like when you watch the NFL draft or something, there's two philosophies. There's like draft for need or draft for the best possible person left on the board, irrespective of need.
Right. Or third option, draft to screw up the person you're competing against, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think my pick falls in the second and third category. Jim Kirk.
Wow.
Is there anything he can't do?
People thought it was impossible that he could work the op station, but that's what he does. He turns impossible situations into fighting chances.
Again, like when a situation seems impossible and I've shrunk from it and gone into the ready room, what you have is a team on that bridge who can really get the job done.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of authority figure I am. I like to empower my team around me, you know?
Yeah.
Build them up.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Ben? Who do you got?
I think that the person I want at ops is somebody that is, you know, they're sitting right across from your pilot. So you're going to want your pilot to feel at ease. And that means it's got to be a Wosakoon. Like, I want Kayla Detmer and Owo to be able to look at each other from across the bridge when a thing happens.
They're a package deal.
Yeah.
I think in the same way that I sort of paired Geordi and Data on the same ship, knowing that they're kind of a package deal too.
True.
But I think it's interesting. I don't think either of us chose Will Riker.
Yeah, he's just going to get the ship
speaking
sticky.
Speaking of package deals, like, what if you had both Rikers on board? Both Will and Tom.
Wow.
How amazing would that be?
Damn. Yeah, I could have had two Picards and two Rikers if I'd played my cards right.
Who's your medical officer? Because I think a ship really has more needs than the four that we've selected. And I think maybe we could fill out our crew with a medical officer and, I don't know, maybe a few other people, like wildcard people. Yeah.
Let's just do medical officer and engineer because we should probably answer some more cues. But
yeah.
Is there anybody better than Pulaski?
You stole my choice. She was going to be mine for sure.
You don't want her on the same ship as Data, though. She's a real asshole to him.
She doesn't have to work on Data ever.
That's true. Okay.
Huh. I'm inclined to choose like from a different specialty and plug that person in as chief medical officer.
Like Tom Paris. He's got a little bit of training.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, speaking of that crew, like the EMH is a pretty solid choice.
True.
Pretty unflappable in a variety of situations.
It's got the data, the advantage of Data where he can just keep working ad infinitum.
Yeah, not liable to make a lot of human mistakes. I mean, the very name is racist.
If you could only hear yourselves.
And I think for engineer, Miles Edward O'Brien.
This is fucking spectacular.
Wow. Strong choice.
He's my chief. For sure. In more ways than one.
All right. Well, I guess that leaves me with Scotty, because I just think
that's a killer pick.
He'd be a real fun hang in the mess hall. I'd want to look at his weird missing finger.
You'd
bust his chops about that.
The death rate of your ensigns is going to be pretty extreme, though. Like, you're going to chew through a lot of those on the training missions. I think that's going to be unfortunate. All of them are going to stay at their posts. That's what's going to happen, Ben.
And then I'll say, Scotty, why? Why do you keep bringing these guys to the bridge? It's not near the six bay at all.
This is a really fun game that I feel like could be a recurring game, because I feel like you could build these crews with specific goals in mind and they would be different every time. So the game could be like, build the best crew for this kind of mission or that kind of mission or going to this place.
I love it.
I think it'd be good stuff. We should bring it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good cue.
Okay, here we go. If you could design a new Star Trek alien, what would you want in that design?
Interesting.
Lots of loaf, no loaf.
I think that one thing that's really exciting about new Trek is that the technology is now available for aliens that are not just loafy humans, you know, like depicting aliens that are not on the humanoid model, I think is something that I would like to see Star Trek move into more and more now that it's like possible. So that's kind of where my head is at first. I don't know. What about you, Adam?
That is where I was going with it as well. Like I want to be horrified more by alien encounters, horrified by how different they are in every way. And I think getting out of a two arms, two legs, a head and a torso type of alien would be a lot of fun and would be something that would be a little scary in the right way, in a way that an alien encounter should be, you know?
Yeah. I feel like
really wet. Like really emits a sound that makes you want to throw up or something. Like
makes it just like incredibly unpleasant to watch, because every time the alien is on screen, it sounds like somebody's stirring a big bowl of wet pasta.
Your species does not deserve a second chance.
You often aliens in Star Trek are kind of like one kind of aspect of humanity, like exaggerated to an absurd degree, like greed in the Ferengis or caginess in the Romulans or warlikeness in the Klingons. Is there an aspect of human life that you feel like would be interesting to explore by exaggerating it to the nth degree in our made up species?
That's a good question. I feel like, you know, the big bases are covered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think often the extremes in ways of being or philosophies are often played for like laughs too, you know? So I don't know. It's a tough needle to thread, I think, to make it a comment on the human condition while also not seeming stereotypical or racist or funny when you don't mean to be.
Right. What about an alien race that was super funny? Like that's their alien superpowers, that they're hilarious.
A worm with a spinning bow tie.
Yeah.
Guys, that question was by David. I didn't say that earlier, but thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
Yeah. And what we got next from Nonchalant Nikki is, has watching and analyzing so much Star Trek taken any joy out of it, or do you find something new that you are learning to enjoy?
I actually was thinking about that earlier today because I was at a social thing that was fun, but I am kind of an introvert, so I sometimes will need to check out of whatever I'm doing socially to like go be by myself and recharge the old batteries. And we were like away with friends over a weekend, and I just, you know, discreetly excused myself and laid down on the bed and watched like half an episode of TNG on my phone. And I was like, I still totally love this. It still works. It's great. And I feel like, you know, the way I watch an episode to review it for the podcast is really different, but just to like plug into an old fave, it still has the same power for me. I don't know. What about you, Adam?
It would be one thing if we were watching the same series over and over again. I think the repetition of that would get old, but like I'm currently watching a Star Trek series that I haven't seen before. And like, if you count the episodes that we watch on Greatest Discovery, I'm doing that all the time.
Yeah.
So I think the newness of what we're watching keeps the show fresh and keeps me fresh for doing it. It's not something that I ever tire of. And really, like the governing philosophy of what we do, Ben, has always just been about making the other person laugh. So I don't see myself ever getting tired of that. And that is all the inspiration I need to keep doing the shows that we do.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting if we like get to the end of Greatest Gen and decide to go back to one and just like go back through it, which is a thing we've joked about before.
Yeah,
I don't know. It could happen, I suppose. But,
I just want to say J Poop in the comments said one of these days Ben will make Adam laugh. And that really got me. I'm kind of a quiet laugher on the show.
Yeah.
Ben is very funny to me, I promise.
Every time I get to the edit and I have a good bon mot, I'm always so pissed that no matter how much I increase the levels, you can't hear Adam laughing at it.
You need to start saving when I actually do laugh as a sound effect. And then like, drop that in where you need to.
Dan Jelly had a fun one that I had to bring to the table, guys. In the mirror universe of our lives, you guys started the Santa Monica Mountains podcast instead of The Greatest Generation.
Oh, okay.
So in this world, this mirror universe.
In this evil world.
Yes. What Star Trek episodes would be in the Maximum Fun bonus feed?
Wow.
To play the bit in reverse, it would be the Star Trek episodes that have the most Baywatch actors in them, right? Or association.
Yeah, or directors or whatever. So
Yeah. So lots of early season TNG probably.
Yeah. I can't remember who directed Justice, but that kind of feels like one we would do as a this is like, you know, Star Trek occasionally did people in revealing outfits also. Such as this.
That's a great call. Yeah. Yeah. What the most Baywatchy TNG episode would be Justice.
Yeah. Or like the one where Picard goes to Risa. That's got some real Baywatch vibes to it.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be the one.
I love it. Well, we've got a couple left, guys.
Great.
And
tell the people who got their questions asked on the episode what they've won, Robs.
Ah, they've won a they've I'll announce it next episode.
All right. Fair enough.
If you guys could drop an already existing TV series or film into the Star Trek universe, what show would you choose and where or when in Star Trek would you place it? Like MASH during the Dominion War or Parks and Rec on a moon colony. And that's by Penguin Bloke Jerry.
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
I like specialized groups working in the context of like a larger situation. So like what is like an A-team inside Star Trek, I think would be great. Like,
they
busted out of Ruripente and now they are the Section 31, you know, group that goes and does the Federation's dirty work.
Damn.
You know, and it's like a weekly semi-serial kind of thing. Like, that could be a fun show. I would dig that. Like different genres operating within the Star Trek as a place kind of philosophy.
Yeah.
I think there's probably 10 different ideas that would work.
I've never watched JAG, but I always thought that like a legal procedural in the Star Trek universe would be cool. I don't know if JAG is, I have no idea what JAG is like. So I guess,
you'd have to ask your parents or your parents' friends.
Yeah. Since I need to cite a show that I'm actually familiar with, I guess I want Night Court, but Star Trek.
Worf would play a great bull.
Yeah, he'd like walk through a doorway and his head would knock the top of the door out. That would be great.
Well, guys, I think we're down to one of the most fun questions.
Okay.
And I just want to say thanks to everyone who submitted these. Okay. You are tasked with creating the official beverage of Star Trek Las Vegas.
Wow.
What is it? And are there variations? And what container does it come in?
Mm-hmm.
We already know hooves exist.
Right, right.
So
what we want is like a novelty, like those kinds of beverage containers you see people walking up and down the strip in Vegas carrying, but that signifies that they've been at the convention and are drinking a Star Trek thing. What does it look like?
And that question is by I and My Cloud.
I think it comes in a clear phaser rifle that you drink out of the tip of.
You suck out of like this. I was going to say warp core, but that's so conventional. I think phaser rifle that you drink out of the tip of is very fun. What's in it? It's got to be orange, right? Because it's got to resemble phaser fire.
I really want this to be something that you would actually want to drink. And like sort of the rule for Vegas is drinking all day, like drinking as long as possible, not getting blasted and passing out. So like what is a drink that you could have for the long term?
Yeah. Not super alcoholic and not super duper sweet because we don't want it to be just a sugar bomb.
The boringest answer I feel like might also be the right one, which is like the crushable porch beer inside a phaser rifle. Like, I feel like you could drink that all day and be fine.
Yeah. A low ABV, low flavor intensity beer. Can we have like some ice packs built into the phaser rifle to keep that beer nice and cold?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like when you get the clear phaser rifle beverage in Vegas, you're also wearing an ice vest. And the phaser rifle has a strap, so you just sort of strap it behind you.
And it's just
where it remains cold. And then when you're ready to drink it, you whip it out, aim it in your mouth.
Get someone else to pull the trigger.
You pull the trigger with your toe, and that's how it dispenses.
You've inspired me to go in a slightly different direction there, Adam. I think it's got to be Jem'Hadar Pina Colada backpack. It's like a camelback with the tube that goes to your mouth with... And the pina colada looks like Ketracel White flowing into you.
That should be the thing that the convention's been doing forever. And it's insane that they don't, especially in a place like the Rio, which has pina coladas everywhere.
Yeah, there should be five things like that. And there are zero things like that.
Like, you hear that convention runs on razor-thin margins and stuff. Hey, what are the biggest margin items whenever you're doing any event anywhere? It's food and bev.
Yeah. And the
get in there and sell your $20 Jem Hadar pina coladas and start getting this thing into the black, guys.
I'll buy
it's
one
not
at least every
rocket
day.
Rocket science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's over. Yeah. It's over for them. This is.
Yeah, they blew it.
I went to the website of Creation Entertainment, and I think it's just called like 55-year mission convention or something like that.
Yeah, like how you can't call the Super Bowl if you're doing a Super Bowl event at a bar.
Yeah, they're still using hashtag STLV, but it stands for like some twerps like Venus.
That was great. I mean, that's all you could have done with that, Ben.
Yeah, I couldn't have gone any other direction. Oh, capture that laugh. It's not Adam laughing at a joke of mine. He's just laughing at me, but we can use it. Yeah. We can use it.
You know what? I'll always laugh when you eat shit, Ben.
And on that note, guys, I think we've all eaten a lot of shit today.
Yeah.
Answered a lot of questions. It's been great.
Well, Rob, thank you for sitting in with us. We've got to get to some priority one messages that we have here in the inbox. So I think we're going to say bye-bye to you and hello to that priority one inbox.
Thanks, Raps.
Bye-bye.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
All right, Ben, our first priority one message is from James. It is to Ben and Adam, and it goes like this. It's Max Fun Drive time, and I'm happy to be able to boost a little bit, but I've also taken on more Max Fun shows, so my donation is split more ways.
Wow.
I wanted to make up a bit of the difference, so here's $100 in your pockets. Thanks.
Hell yeah.
For saving my wife from having to talk about Star Trek with me.
Wow, James, we've really done a service to your marriage.
James, this is why I have a Star Trek podcast with Ben.
Yeah, the wives in our lives are also disinclined to talk about Star Trek with us, so we can really relate. Thank you, James. Thanks for tipping your pod tenders. We have another priority one message here from Carrie, and it's to Brady. Goes like this. Brady just did something wonderful for my birthday, and sadly for his own birthday, he is out of town for work. So unfair! He deserves happiness and to know how important he is. Also, like Earl Grey tea, he is hot. Wow. Way to go, Brady. You're hot, and you've got a partner in Carrie who's laying some fun P1 action on them.
This isn't fair. Brady did something great for Carrie's birthday, and Carrie...
She has to reply.
Brady just... a priority one message.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to sell these, Adam, so let's try and kind of like give people the sense that they're worth something. Well, thanks to everyone who sent in a priority one message. If you'd like to do so, head to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. It's $100 for a personal message and $200 for a commercial message, and we really appreciate it.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... Oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Are we doing drunk Shimodas? What's going to happen next?
I guess we could do Edward Larkin's, this being Greatest Discovery.
Oh, right. Thanks for the reminder of which show we're doing. I don't think this episode qualifies, and I think that's fine.
That's fine. Well, that just about does it for us here on The Greatest Discovery today. We're working on some exciting stuff for future episodes, but nothing that we can announce just yet. But check back in a couple of weeks for the next episode of Greatest Discovery. It might be something really cool, but it will definitely be something fairly cool.
That's the Greatest Gen promise right there.
The Greatest Gen promise is that we will disappoint you 10 times out of 10. But let's throw it to Rob's to close out the show.
The Greatest Discovery is a Maximum Fun podcast hosted by Ben Harrison and Adam Pranica. The show is produced by me, Rob Schulte. Our theme music is by Adam Ragusea. You should go check out his YouTube page to find your next recipe. Uxbridge Shimoda's card daddy is named Bill Tilly, and he handles all of our social media. Find us under the handle Greatest Trek on most social platforms like Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. There's a whole lot of Trek on the way, so dive into the back catalog to catch up on things like Lower Decks and Picard. And we'll see you next episode of The Greatest Discovery.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.